Fortune tango vulnera, sibilantibus obsedis. Fortune amici vulnera, sutra imprevedis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
All right, the legendary Dr. Drew, drdrew.com, is our guest. He is the chief medical board member for the Wellness Company. Great folks, great sponsor of ours. The top best company for telemedicine for everything, not just COVID, monkeypox, and all that stuff, but just all sorts of great stuff. But they also have the ready packs for everything you need for COVID or new viruses or any of this garbage. And I'm going to ask him, you know, why do we have all these summer colds now? And, you know, I've got the head of the Crick Institute saying when you take three or more of the shots, it lowers your immune system 5 to 6 times what it was. You'll, quote, need more shots. Sounds like a great business model to lower people's immune system so they get sicker so you can sell them more, you know, medical devices. But Dr. Drew, finishing the question we had before the break.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly, you mentioned the monkeypox and the bird flu, and the TWC Medical Board meets on a regular basis, and all of us spontaneously and independently, we started hearing that there was grave concerns of an international scale about monkeypox and flu. Our only conclusion could be they must be adulterating or adding gain of function to those viruses, which, and they're not telling us, and that could be why they are expressing their concern. Or they are just addicted to the panic porn and just like to exert, to have their way with the public. And by the way, the World Economic Forum has that in print. They on their website say that the people have shown their willingness to comply, and the experiment was a success. So, you know, be ready. There are ways to treat monkeypox and there are ways to treat bird flu. We actually put Tamiflu in one of our emergency kits, so you are prepared. I call this rational readiness. These things could happen, but why are you even reading about it? Why do we even know how many monkeypox outbreaks there were in Central Africa? Why do you know that? I need to know that. I'm a physician. I need to be aware of these things. But the public, making them aware of that is absurd and, again, suspicious. Why are you doing this? Why are you pumping that out? Either there is a motivation behind it or something I've been concerned about. The press is so addicted to catching your eyes any way they can, they're willing to harm you and panic you, which is exactly what I thought they were doing in the early days of COVID. That's what made me so furious. I saw the whole thing as a press-generated hysteria. Now, I was wrong, and there were plenty of other forces at work, and there were plenty of reasons to be concerned about it, but the hysteria, panic, is never make things better, ever. So I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question. I've already forgotten what it was, Alex. Before the break, we were talking about the generating lots of the protein being generated by the virus and whether that's a vaccine. So I really take the vaccine. I'm very liberal with my definition of vaccine. Look, I'm a moderate, Alex. I'm trying to stay in reality. I don't believe anything anymore. I'm like Joe Rogan. I believe maybe the world is flat. I don't know. I heard you talking about it being a sphere. I happen to agree with you. But the point is that I'm now open to any and everything, but I want to be very, very careful in how we think about things. Like, I don't know if you saw poor John Campbell got tagged with what I think to be just a mistake. There were nanoparticles in the vaccine detected in the Japanese. I think don't do that, everybody. Let's be really careful, or you're as bad as the people generating the panic. Be very careful. So back to the vaccine definition. I have a liberal definition of the vaccine, which is to me anything that generates an immune response for a particular pathogen, so your immune system will have an ability to attack it when it sees it again. So whether or not it's a gene therapy or not a gene therapy or just a whole virus, whatever it is, to me, they're all vaccines. The problem on what you're pointing at, though, is how do we, when you're giving messenger RNA and you're instructing cells and you're taking over the cell's machinery to produce a protein, how do you get it to stop? And then we now have good evidence that the people that get into problems with the vaccine, it's turned on and it doesn't seem to stop, or at least the immune response to it doesn't stop, and the antigen load seems to stay up. So it is seemed to be the case that some people, particularly after the first booster, can get into real trouble, and that should alarm us. Plus, we now know that there's no doubt about the myocarditis in males, in young males. It occurs. There was some data out of France just a couple days ago, it was published in JAMA, looked pretty good, that the kids that got the myocarditis didn't seem to have long-term consequences, though I will tell you they are getting atrial arrhythmias and needing ablations, which are invasive cardiac procedures. At the age of 25, can you imagine that? You want to go play football. It's like that they are having to go.
What I'm seeing is we used to see a football player who's 23 or whatever die every 5 years. Somebody have a heart attack and die, or maybe every decade. Every week, some 25, 30-year-old football player is dropping dead, and we see myocarditis and all this exploding.
It seems like, well, myocarditis for sure, and myocarditis was a is a dreaded complication of viruses. Now, the France study does suggest that the long-term consequence of myocarditis from COVID virus is worse than from COVID vaccine, but that's in elderly patients because young patients don't seem to get the myocarditis from the virus itself. So my question again, why aren't we using whole viral options if the spike protein is the issue? And if you're so hell-bent on mandating or requiring vaccines, why aren't you considering other than two brands, number one? And I understand you believe those to be very effective brands, but there are other effective brands out there.
That's my point, because I quoted the big national study that just came out last week where 40% have some trust, only 29% have great trust. And again, decades ago, it was in the 80s, and before that, in the 90s. I mean, daughters were like God.
Let me address that one quick second, though. I want to just finish the myocarditis thing, and then I'm going to get into that. So why are you mandating a particular brand of vaccine in order to go to college or go to school or have a job? Why are you mandating that virus when there's a zero chance of serious outcome from the virus itself and a non-zero chance from the vaccine? Where is the risk-reward analysis in this, which has been abandoned throughout the entire outbreak, without the entire COVID disaster? And Redfield admits that. The leaders at the time admitted they overlooked any concerns about the consequences of what they were doing. But of course, as a result of things like that, people's confidence in the medical system deteriorates. Not only that, the system is becoming more and more and more cumbersome. I'm here to tell you that a year or two from now, certainly on the sort of general medical front and even the surgical front, you're not going to see a doctor. You're going to see physician extenders. I remember years ago, I was on Anderson Cooper's show, and I used the word physician extender, and Anna Navarro was on the panel, and Anderson, all of them, physician extenders, what are you talking about? I went, yeah, that's the way they're developing the system. So you're going to see nurse practitioners and physician assistants. Anybody who goes to the doctor on a regular basis is already very familiar with this. But even seeing the physician at all is going to be a very irregular experience. And I just last week had three patients come in my office, confused, hysterical, were scheduled for surgeries, had not yet seen the physician.
Incredible. So dangerous.
All of them were not needed. One of them maybe, but the rest was not needed. I canceled it. And I said, just call me next time. Don't get into the system. The system is the problem. It's not my peers so much, though we have our own issues. It's the system that makes it impossible for us to do our job.
Wasn't it healthy? Not in a good way, but that which doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. Nietzsche, that we had such suppression of medical professionals, doctors, and others by Big Pharma and the system and the UN and the media, that now it's got a lot of doctors and others to stand up, and they get incredible love and trust, and that doctors at some level are now realizing they're being taken over, not just the public, and that there is the formation of major resistance.
Yeah, and to flush out your Nietzsche quote even further, his actual quote was, in the art of war, that which does not kill you make you stronger. And that's what we're in a battle here. We are in a battle. And you can demand better from the system. But, you know, when people are elderly or they have cognitive issues or they're sick, it's very, very difficult to get it to function the way it is supposed to. The reality is there's nothing more efficient and more effective than a well-trained physician and a informed patient. I used to say a caring, well-trained physician, but the care has been expunged from the system, but I'll put it back in for the sake of this discussion. Anything you do to that or put upon that, you're adulterating things, you're making things worse. I mean, imagine if lawyers had to deal with this. Are you kidding? They wouldn't put up with this for 2 seconds. And the medical profession has been eviscerated by it. And I think we're... I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I don't know how we get it back. I guess it does, as you say, it does create opportunities for awareness. And so people should be very cautious and very careful, and also creative opportunities to sort of organize ourselves in such a way that we deal with these weaknesses sure. in the system. And just, again, like I said, the TWC was one of my response for that.
I want to go back to about 15 minutes ago, because I see a lot of your clips. I watch the show sometimes, but I see the clips every couple of days. I watch something you've said, and I've seen you in the last 4 years, let's not exaggerate, 30, 40 clips at least, where you're like, these vaccines are have a bunch of problems. You know, this is really dumb. But then you're going back to the time at warp speed saying, well, actually, you think it saves some old people that you saw in your practice with, you know, clear thing there. But now with boosters, you are seeing some issues. We have the studies clearly pointing at that. So I'm not saying you're saying something different here today. This is all very nuanced. Yeah. I want you to be able to flesh that out. But at first, here's just, I went and searched real quick during the break of clips, and I found one really fast of you basically saying what my view is. Here's a short clip.
It's more common than we thought. People are like, well, it's mild. It's no big deal. It's self-limited, blah, blah. Look, in my world, throughout my entire career, 40-year career, myocarditis is a medical emergency. It's a dire problem. A publication just came out 5 days ago in Circulation, a major cardiology journal. An excellent study, and it showed, it took my breath away. I didn't know why it wasn't headline news. It's a large study, and it showed that about approximately half of the young males that got myocarditis had permanent heart damage.
Yep.
Permanent. That means that we don't know what percentage are going to be disabled by this. As they get older, are going to develop heart failure, or going to need cardiac transplants, some of them.
Oh my God.
It's breathtaking, this study, and why it wasn't a big headline. I've sort of sent it around a little bit because I don't understand why people aren't reacting to it. So in a 27-year-old male, the illness is a nothing. So the risk is, so the vaccine is all risk.
Right.
Why the push? Why are we pushing? And I think, put your legal head on for a second, that universities are going to be in big trouble for having mandated young people to get that vaccine. Because people are going to get sick, and they're going to have long-term consequences, and they should sue those schools for having forced them to take a medical intervention.
100%, they should sue. And if anybody tries to force you from this point forward, get a fake card. It's not that hard. Go ahead, Google it. Get a fake card.
And again,
don't comply.
We have a good treatment. We have Paxlovid. Why? And people have all kinds of feelings.
You have to say you've gotten the shot to get in.
Right.
Let's stop there. But you go on from there. So there's nuances.
I agree with everything I just said. I agree with all that. Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. I said it's a non-zero risk from the vaccine and a zero risk from the illness in that age group. Now, at that point, that study was starting to tilt at the idea that there might be some, even if it's 1 in 5,000 that get myocarditis, that one of those 50% end up with serious long-term problems. This French study that came out a couple of days ago suggest that wasn't quite right. So, but the point
is, where is all the excess death coming from? Because I've seen the studies that Dr. Peter McCullough and countless others that work with you, and they're saying clearly it's not COVID causing any serious increase in all these heart issues, and that it's the people that have been injected.
I don't think we can say that yet. You know why? Because the studies haven't been adequately done, because the possibility that it is the injection prevents the right studies from getting accomplished. All I keep seeing is it's actually confusing. And I know when it's confusing, I'm not getting the whole story. The reality is, in medical literature, there should always be a back and a forth. It goes against it and for it, against it, and then a consensus develops. You start to see something to approximate the truth. When they say it's only one way, that's how you know that there's something wrong with what's being published. This was what RFK Jr. said. He wants to prosecute the major publications in medicine on a RICO case. For colluding and refusing to publish data that suggests something contrary to the narrative.
Well, Dr. Drew, that's my next question. RFK Jr., I mean, we see the numbers. He went over it in his speech when he endorsed Trump. He spoke about it. I've looked the numbers up. They're true. I mean, astronomical increase in cancer, astronomical, you know, just all the children, all these incredible illnesses. It's not just hyper over medicalization, I think, in most times. I mean, I can go out and look at kids at the mall or look at kids at schools. They don't, on average, a lot of them look super unhealthy. I mean, what is going on with our young people?
Well, let's add up the score. I mean, we've got destruction of our family systems, which is what kids need to thrive and regulate. We have food sources. Have you interviewed Kelly Means yet?
I need to look into it.
Yeah, I mean, he will tell you, as a former food lobbyist, that the tobacco companies have taken over the food company, and has what come with them has been the lobbyists, the scientists, and the marketers using the exact same strategies as we used on tobacco and making it just as addictive. So are we surprised that this yummy addictive food would have a negative health influence on our young people? And if on top of that, people are away from the home, broken homes, working multiple jobs, how can you manage the child's food? And then we've handed it over to the schools to do it? Really? The government to feed our kids? That's not going to go well. That can't go well. And in the meantime, there's access to all kinds of yummy things 24/7. And everything is a button away from food delivery to your hand. And if you don't educate kids and manage kids and help them regulate and understand how to properly nourish themselves, they're not going to do it. They're going to fall victim to the addictive elements.
Absolutely. I mean, he goes over the numbers. It's just staggering. And the United States is like one of the top or most sick countries in the world. We spend more than anybody else per capita on medicine. And now you have 29% of people that actually totally have great trust in the system, 40% some trust. This looks like it's going to get to a very bad place because, like I said earlier, all I see is the people that own the medical system, the banks, the insurance companies, big pharma doubling down. Do you agree with that statement? And then how do you, looking out at the future, see that coming to a head?
It sort of breaks my heart to look at that kind of a future. My dad was an old family practitioner. My uncle was a psychiatrist. I practiced medicine my whole life. It's a very deep and meaningful experience and been a part of my identity forever. And the idea that it has been adulterated by systems that have been put in place that have motivations that are outside and not necessarily congruent with the well-being of the patient. I don't know where it goes, unfortunately. If I knew where it goes, I would have gotten in the way of it a long time ago. All I have discovered that I can do is try to get things into the hands of patients as much as possible. That includes medication, that includes information, that includes awareness. And we have to help people navigate the system. Unfortunately, Alex, I think where it's going to go is going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And what's probably going to happen, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be some sort of split in the system because it's going to get so bad that people are not going to put up with it and they're going to set up a parallel system of some type. That's what happened in England, even though their system was never as bad even as ours is right now.
That's a really important point. And of course, you're on the board of the wellness company, chief medical board of the wellness company. We need to do a plug. You're a classic, dyed-in-the-wool doctor won't even really talk about the products, but explain what the wellness company does. And again, it's a lot bigger than just COVID or monkeypox. I mean, you're talking about total one shop to talk to nurses, doctors, online medicine, everything. This is a revolution that Trump did get through, and it's the answer to where you don't have big pharma ordering all the big pharmacies not to prescribe stuff because they want you to buy their drugs like Remdesivir or whatever. I mean, this is revolutionary, and people need to understand it. So spend a few minutes about why you joined the wellness company and what it's doing.
Yeah. I completely, Alex, you really actually framed exactly what we're doing, which is you need to understand that you can get, people I think are fearful of getting healthcare because it's going to be terribly expensive. The reality is you can deliver healthcare for the vast majority of your needs extremely effectively. And that's what we're looking to do at the wellness company. For instance, in our emergency kits, we have Dr. Kelly Victory, who's an ER doctor and a disaster specialist. And she said, look, we got to get a hold of the EpiPens because they have become so expensive that people can't get them. They're having to come to the ER to get their Epi injection if they have anaphylactoid reactions. And now it's $2,500 when you walk in the door because you're paying for the infrastructure and all the staff in the ER. And we found a way to source EpiPen in our emergency kit as lower than everybody else. We can do it. We can get cost effective. We can get medication in your hands at a relatively reasonable price with medical backup that's either part of it or also at a very reasonable price. And look, you go to the doctor so he or she can use their judgment. We can do that rather quickly and efficiently. We are ways to do it now that, again, efficiency is going to be the name of the game going forward. And getting doctors as entrenched in it People think they go to doctors to see for their fund of knowledge. The fund of knowledge goes without saying. What you can Google on any website is what we've known since the second year of medical school. It's the years and years and years of practice of honing our judgment to get the right thing for the right patient at the right moment and the right dose and the right choice. And that requires lots of judgment, not just information. And that's what our team has. We have a good squad there to give you judgment and then ways for you to develop your own judgment so you can be there on behalf of your family if you should need it, God forbid.
And going back to $2.3 million that came out this year, paid by the federal government to the two biggest pharmacies, Walgreens and CVS, not to prescribe a whole list of things they said when doctors did it off-label, which was totally legal. And I saw doctors go to the pharmacies and say, like Dr. Zelenko, I'm prescribing this to my thousands of patients. I'm legally allowed to do this. You're not a doctor. What gives you the authority? So the whole medical system is trying to take doctors out of the equation and have technicians or actuaries or numbers. Oh, you got insurance? Surgery when you don't need it. Don't have insurance? Don't get surgery when you need it. What you guys are doing is getting people directly in touch with doctors, nurses, practitioners, and others, right, and everything that they need. And it was the telemedicine that Trump got through, then COVID hit, that saved so many people. It was such a game changer. And that's why I'm so excited about the wellness company and onlinehealthnow.com. Everybody needs to mark that down and get ahead of this in these uncertain times. And I mean, I know a lot of people are talking about, Dr. Peter McCullough is talking about, people can legally also, most of this stuff is not controlled. So people can also legally stockpile a lot of things. What type of things should people just have on hand, Dr. Drew?
Well, look, it depends on what your needs are. I always give patients, when they travel, I give them anti-nauseal, seasick medication, medications for infectious diarrhea, infections for antibiotics for skin infections, antibiotics for upper respiratory and sinus infections. And that is what we put in our travel kits. We tried to think of everything that you would need for the particular circumstance you're trying to prepare for. If it's an emergency, our entire committee got involved with that one. And an infection outbreak, things that ivermectin and medicine like that is available if that's what you want. There's things, again, the point is, and the point you're making is that if you don't allow medical practitioners to practice medicine and you do it from a centralized authority, it is destructive for the patients. It is dangerous. And the more centralized, the more dangerous. And I don't know why in the world we would contemplate going and signing for a World Economic, World Health Organization so-called treaty to give them fiat authority over duly elected officials. That to me is the scariest, most evil idea I've ever heard. Your most effective unit is right back to you, your family, and somebody whom you contact to use their judgment to help you.
Absolutely. Dr. Drew, thank you so much for the time. I look forward to speaking to you again. DrDrew.com. They can find you on X at Dr. Drew. And they can also find you at the Wellness Company. The link to use is onlinehealthnow.com. One word, onlinehealthnow.com. Thank you so much, sir.
Appreciate it, Alex. Thank you so much.
Well, that was a great interview. And again, he's one of the most prominent doctors in the world. And you could say, kind of more mainline or whatever. But even he has come a long way and he's been standing up for free speech. And to have those big discussions and those big debates back and forth that we need to have. And so the Wellness Company are awesome folks. They're a huge sponsor. And we have some other telemedicine sponsors that are excellent as well, that kind of have their own lines of things and also supplements. People like Dr. Stella Emanuel is amazing. Some of the other groups are amazing. But these folks are the one-stop shop. And they've also got their spike protein detox on the site as well. So be sure and visit right now online. HealthNow.com. OnlineHealthNow.com. Again, I want to thank Dr. Drew for coming on. And then separately, there's other things like Nitric Boost that Dr. Mikovits says is so great with all these compounds that we sell that flush out the blood and clean things out and go after the spike protein, the rest of it. It's available with InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com. Check out the whole InfoWars MD line of products at InfoWarsStore.com, like the CBD gummies and the 1,000 milligram tincture, way lower price then people selling the exact same stuff we private label. It's the high-end quality stuff with a huge discount. InfoWars MD, CBD gummies, and more at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. Tons of news, massive news. The Haitian invasion of Ohio. It's all coming up, hour number three.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High-quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for another.